Well, in NASCAR, you're not allowed to go below a certain line. So if you consider the borders okay. as so those...
It's analog NASCAR.
Yeah, that is
That's
NASCAR.
That's great.
Yeah, people saw horses and went, you know what? I'm going to make cars out of this.
You know what? I'm going to make a car.
You know, this would be great if these... those legs were wheels. I think I'd like this.
Hello. Welcome to the Cream Podcast, number 20.
Wow, 20 in.
You might be watching this on a new channel if you're on YouTube. Yeah. If you haven't, go and have a look at that. But if you're not and you're just listening, just stay where you are.
Yeah, also if you haven't been able to find the new YouTube channel and you're listening to this, you found the new YouTube channel. If you haven't, you'll never find it, I guess.
And there you
Sorry.
Go.
Bye.
This is all one big riddle. Anyway, we always begin these podcasts by seeing if cars rule everything around us or ruin.
Yes.
Would you like to start us off, Edwin?
It's a rule this week. It's a rule on a big level. Ooh. It could be the biggest rule so far.
Our biggest rule yet.
For number one reason, I'm sitting further away from Will than usual. That might sound mean, but if you're watching, you know that there's a reason. There's something What's in the that? Middle of us pushing us apart a bit. That's an engine on a pallet in between us. You might have remembered, if you listened to the last podcast, that we said that we got a new project car, and we've been at him. Mm. We've been at him with knives and, you know, we've been cutting his heart out.
We've plunged into him and, yeah,
and sitting on here. So we've already given you a good amount of clues last time. You're not going to see it for a while. We should make that clear. It's going to be a while because we want to get him the ball rolling so that we don't introduce him to you and then you don't see him for 3 months because he's away getting fixed. So it's going to be a while. Be patient. But if you're a nerd enough, like us, to look at what's on this palette and recognize it, you know it's going to be quite cool. So that is 100% a rule from me because we got that done. And then the other rule is what's behind the TV, if you're watching. If not, there is a Mercedes E55 AMG wagon up on the lift.
With how many miles?
With 80,000 miles.
Quite a lot of mileage. Quite, more than that.
Oh, that was it. 220,000 miles on it.
It's quite a lot.
It is, and it's horrible. Quite horrible, but I don't think I've been as excited by... I think this is my Corsa. When you got the Corsa and you're excited, I'm so excited for this.
It is very, very cool.
It's
just silver AMG.
There's
nothing that special about it, but it is essentially a 500 horsepower wagon.
Oh, it's going to be...
Seven-seater.
He's got the rear-facing seat.
I'm going to call it a five-and-a-half-seater.
Five-and-a-half-liter?
Six-seater.
Five-and-a-half-seater.
Cream, get the money.
So yeah, that is, you will see, if you watch our YouTube channel Top Dead Center, you'll see an upcoming series of us buying cheap V8s. This is mine. We're gonna go and pick up Will's tomorrow. Are you gonna reveal that?
I'm hoping it all goes well because I'm about to buy a lot of parts, just as you are as well. You're buying the parts after seeing the car.
I own the car.
I may be buying the parts before actually seeing the car. But I'm in my head, what's the worst that could happen?
Hey, you're getting one.
It's a cheap Jaguar XFR.
And those are low-stress engines. Those are
yeah, no. Actually, do you know what? They're reliable, but they just have one very major weak point.
And what's that?
That's the timing chain.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, the sort of thing that...
Holds it all together, kind of.
Times everything.
And how much would it be to do that job?
Lots.
Yes.
Thousands.
Nice. You know, so you're buying the cheapest one on the market?
One of the cheapest. It is blue.
It's blue.
And I re-watched the Top Gear review. And that was also blue. And it's Kyanite blue.
So that's going to be cool. I'm excited for that.
I'm looking forward to that. So both of them, we're looking for... Basically, we're sending them to outer space.
Oh, these guys are going places.
Two supercharged cars.
This is good.
I would also probably call it a rule on that basis, even though I haven't seen the car yet. But there's no other real changes either. There's nothing...
And everything...
This that's next to us, huge rule.
This is huge.
There are some quite heavy...
There are some crusty ruins.
There's some big
coming.
Crispy, soggy ruins in there.
But on the whole,
it's a
very
rule.
Cool rule. Personal cars? In the land of personal, that's fine?
But nothing's changed.
Nothing worse than before.
Nothing's changed. I did have a wear sensor fall off my Range Rover.
That was quite funny, which you told me about. I looked at the wheel and the wear sensor was poking out of the wheel to outside. Yeah. I was like, that makes sense.
The entire wire has broken off. I thought, oh, maybe I'll just refit it. No, it's just broken off. So every time I start the car now, it goes, your brake pads are worn. It's like, I've driven a few miles since the pads, but not that many.
Also, because what it's trying to sense the wear, the distance is zero. It's going, whoa!
It's just getting a cool breeze.
I'm very cold.
So yeah, I need to fix that. But other than that, it's Gucci.
So it's a rule from you and I. We'll get to Ben quickly, but we have a sponsor this week.
Now, before we move on, this is a quick shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, Holy. Now, we genuinely really, really like Holy, and Holy have been supporting the channel for a long, long time. And they also support Alex's channel, All The Gear, the whole multiverse.
The whole gang. Now, Holy offer a solution to what we all kind of have a problem with here, which is a lack of hydration. We just don't really drink anything. Because they replace super unhealthy, expensive, high-calorie drinks with cost-effective and great-tasting low-calorie drinks.
And that's because Holy ditches sugar, taurine, and anything artificial, which means you get 100% fruit flavors and you end up with a really tasty drink.
And you, for 2025, when you buy a starter set deluxe, which includes 42 portions of Holy Energy, iced tea and hydration, you'll also get a free glass bottle and a sticker set free of charge.
Also new for 2025 are Holy Milkshakes. Now these are sugar-free and full of vitamins, and they sent us out their banana, hazelnut and vanilla flavors.
So if Holy sounds like something you need in your life, go and grab the starter set deluxe kit or the milkshakes, or even both.
And make sure you use our code CREAMPOD5 for £5 off your first order, and then use code CREAMPOD for 10% off every order after that.
Mr. Benjamin Rogers.
Hello.
Is it a rule or a ruin for you?
Do you know what? After many weeks of ruin, we're back at rule.
You're so back.
We're back at rule for two reasons. Number one, the X5, my X5, is at a service. He's living life, and the man managed to reset my 4x4 system, so he's now four-wheel drive again.
So you have four-wheel drive?
Yep.
But he's still a little bit tilty.
He still has an issue with suspension because, you know, he fixed one side.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came to me and said, yeah, the other side now is broken.
It's tough to see. That's tough to see.
That is nice.
But maybe if I fix that, it'll finally be fixed.
Maybe if you fix that, the other side will go again.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And then on the weekend, this coming weekend, there are plans in motion to do work on cars. Not my cars.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't work on my own car.
But we wouldn't have thought that.
No, no, of course. But what car is it?
DC2 Honda Integra, but a UK spec one.
A Type R.
Yeah, Type R, yeah. We are doing pads, discs, and an exhaust system. A full system.
Ooh, nice. This is clean. Full system. Do you mean even like a manifold, a header?
Or I believe not.
Okay.
It's downpipe onwards.
So downpipe back.
You know, but that's fine. Because
that's
also,
fun.
My mate Sam, who owns the car, obviously, as naive to this as I am. So
okay.
He said to me, he was like, do you want to do some stuff on the Clio? Do you know we can squeeze it in? I was like, I think maybe we might need the whole day.
Now, here's a question for you. Are you going to be doing that on jack stands on the driveway?
Yes.
Ooh, exhaust on jack stands on the driveway. Always fun. Oh, always easy. One. It's always nice.
Yes. You have to guess how many jack stands?
How many? Three.
Just two.
Ooh, okay.
So it's going to end up probably being quite difficult, but again, not my car.
Here's what we're going to do. Impossible. I'm going to lend you some jack stands that we have here, Ben, because that would be quite nice to have it on.
Okay,
all
but you did also, you have been saying to me for months that my only experience working on cars is my Clio on a lift, and that wasn't the true experience. So maybe I'm making it more difficult.
But I would still just say maybe more than two jack stands is helpful.
Especially for an entire... It does kind of go.
You're
going
to be under the whole car.
There were plans in motion to... yeah, that's such a great shout.
To do it with none?
Yeah. Nah, not my car.
Just Ant-Man it. Just shrink down and...
But I also intend to, hopefully, this is for the podcast, I would like to clean my Clio's engine bay as well on that day, because I would like to see if it,
see if it can do it.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
We had a whole debate about it a few weeks ago, and I now I bought some of Edwin's special spaff.
Lovely.
And some...
That's a trademark, by the way.
Yeah, for his degreaser. And I'm going to see what it's like. Because I'm going to do it, and if I feel something, then maybe I'll fold on my opinions.
He will. He 100% will.
Now, do you know what he won't?
No, he won't now, but deep down he will.
I think because an engine bay clean is... It's graft.
Yeah, it's true.
It's big work. I think once you're in and it hasn't quite come out how you like, when you really got to start getting those elbows greasy, then I think you may...
You got to get the little brushes.
Either this turns you entirely...
You got the little red brushes with black brushes?
Yeah, nice.
They'll work.
So we'll see. But I mean, that is also dependent on, you know...
Time.
Have actually been able to do an exhaust
working.
I think we'll do brakes, and then if we're feeling happy, it's exhaust time.
Ooh, so a big week for better. Well, check back in next week and we'll see if Ben comes in and goes, ruin.
Integra's buggered. Somehow the Clio's buggered as well.
Broke the Clio.
Didn't even touch it.
Foreshadowing. Cool, so that is our ruin or rules of the week. As always, let us know in the comments your rules or ruins. You can comment on Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify, or on the new YouTube channel, Cars Rule Everything Around Me. So put your comments on either. We always like reading through them. Well, do we have some news, Will?
There are some newses.
Some of the news.
There's one
time
that I have absolutely no information about. I just wanted to write it down. Honda built a Pokemon or something.
So, okay.
Yeah, I didn't read it further than that.
Oh, that was it.
So that's it. Anyway, the Nürburgring are separating bikes and cars.
I saw this, and I saw a lot of... I saw it from the bikers' opinions first, being like, they're trying to push us out. They're trying to get rid of us. Okay, if they are reducing the amount of days, I can understand. Well, you might feel that. But at the same time, bikes and cars going all out on the same track together, it's a recipe for disaster. We've been around the ring a few times. I'm not saying the bikers, it's the bikers' fault. Cyclists' fault, really, if anything. Yeah. But the bikers are just as courteous as everyone else.
Yeah.
But remember, it's the Nürburgring. You have clowns from Birmingham driving their M4s all the way across and smashing them around thinking it's Le Mans. Mm. It's so easy to get wiped out by some idiot that I kind of get it. I do kind of get it.
And it's dangerous enough in a car.
Yeah.
But I did see a quote that kind of that was stating the bleeding obvious, I think it might be. Nürburgring's managing director, Ingo Berder, I believe the name is, he said, the different driving dynamics can lead to misunderstandings between two and four-wheelers.
Okay.
Sort of pointing out the obvious. What he said next, in this case, motorcyclists are particularly at risk because, unlike car drivers, they have no crumple zone. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's like, has he only just realised that?
It's politician speak. Yeah. Oh, I just got Phyllis with something. It is true that motorcyclists do have two wheels.
Did he just sit there and go, oh, God. I just remember, they've got no doors, roof.
Those bikes have airbags, right?
No.
They don't.
They don't. Get them off.
Good God. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's an absolute menace.
I thought he had a roof and everything.
But I just thought that was slightly, not worrying, but quite...
You're waking up in the morning. So, hold on, this is a racetrack.
It's like coming out in a war and going, right, well, it's quite dangerous to have all these guns there.
But they're going quickly around. What? Slow them down. Is that not a limit on this track?
Is that a coach? But yeah, that's quite interesting. But again, yeah, if there was ever a collision between a bike and a car, bike ain't winning.
No, unless it's the beat, car it is. In which case they might.
Yeah, maybe.
But same.
Yeah.
But any motorcycle bicyclists in the comments, what's your feelings towards that? Because I haven't looked into it enough. I assume that there will be less days, lots less days that they can make it on.
I will admit that when I read that news, I thought that was the case anyway.
No?
I don't think I've ever seen a bike on the Nürburgring.
Well, no, we've gone, we went last in the pouring rain.
That but even like, I've seen a million different videos and I just don't remember ever seeing a bike.
Oh, there's usually a good amount of, because it's whenever
there's not a bike and a car.
Whenever there's an oil slick from a car, the bikers, they go down. Because they
just fall off.
They fall off. All right. Yeah, they do. They go straight off on YouTube corner.
Even if they're not near, they just fall off. Yeah.
Someone drops oil at the beginning of the track, someone at the end. Whoop. Damn it.
Are you going to crash? Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to look up. It just doesn't compute to me in my mind seeing a bike on the Nürburgring.
It also makes sense because it's probably one of the only places they can actually drive with no, like,
ride.
Sorry, drive with no impedance. You know, on the road, you can enjoy a car, but on a bike,
a very fast bike.
Yeah. On a bike, anyone's pulling out on you. Anyone's turning at some time, you're dying.
Moped.
Can you get a moped on the go?
Are you allowed a moped?
That's interesting. It's like a dual carriage. You have to stick on the grass. Yeah. You have to stay on the side.
We've had a debate a few times. I would quite like to see this as a video. I would like to see what a horse would do for a lap time. But I think it would be harsh on the horse.
Oh, that's not a lot.
As in, like, you know, his cloppers.
You know what they say?
You need an off-road session.
One Nürburgring lap is akin to 20,000 road miles.
Yeah.
One lap of horse Nürburgring is 20 years off the horse's life.
I want to know how, like, a horse, like, proper giving it. I don't think they can.
Proper giving it. A racehorse. He's not like a weekend track horse.
No.
He's a fully built racehorse.
He got trailered there. Yeah.
Supposed to a normal horse walking.
It's got hoof warmers on before the... But I think a horse, you know, I think it could beat some cars. It's stamina, I think.
Oh, that's true.
I was just thinking on the topic of race horses, they're more endurance, right? Does that mean that horse racing is basically like analog drag racing?
NASCAR. It's NASCAR.
NASCAR, yeah.
They go round? I thought it was a straight line.
Although they're not allowed to leave their lane. Is that correct?
Well, in NASCAR, you're not allowed to go below a certain line. So if you consider the borders those...
It's analog NASCAR.
Yeah, that is NASCAR.
That's great.
Yeah, people saw horses and went, you know what? I'm going to make cars out of this.
You know what? I'm going to make a car.
You know, this would be great if those legs were wheels. I think I'd like this.
You know what? I might measure my power using one of these.
How many horsepower you make? One.
Yeah. All right. Horse versus race? Race? Horse versus car, Nürburgring battle.
Even better.
If you have a horse...
And you want to race it, Even better if we can do it Gran Turismo 4 style, where the horse leaves like 7 minutes earlier and then an SLR McLaren has to hunt it down.
Lots of horses and we have to see how many horses we can overtake. It's different speed of horse. It's like start you first,
Shetland,
first
get the Shetland pony
and you work your way up to the racehorse.
Rocking horse goes first.
Racehorse has got a 12-second gap on you. We have updates on our stuff. Do we not talk about the E55 buying experience?
Ooh, that was tough.
That was quite tough.
That was tough. So this car, you may know, we're spoiling a little bit, but for you podcast listeners, you can get a little early sneak peek. These cars, usually, like a tatty one, sells for £7,000 to £8,000. Mm. I know this because I was looking for one when I was looking for my C55, my daily driver, and I could not get one for my price point of around £5,000 to £6,000. This car was listed 3 months ago for £7,995.
Nice.
Granted, it had higher miles, 222,000, but the photos were taken not quite at night time, but just dark enough to not be able to make anything out of the car.
On the cusp of darkness.
Yeah, right at the edge. And it was kind of dimly lit by his house light. Mm. So you just couldn't see anything of the car. But I thought, you know, let me message this guy, because the money had gone down to £6,000. I thought...
Which is a drastic drop.
It's a big drop after 3 months. But the reason, I'd messaged him a few months ago saying, how open to you are on offers? And that sort of thing. He was like, nah, don't want any offers on it. I was like, all right, fine, fair enough. I'm not going to push. Saw it 3 months later and thought, he's dropped the price. Let me get in contact again. Check the car's history. It had run out of MOT.
Nice.
So I messaged him and said, look, I've seen it's run out of MOT. That's not a problem for us. We don't mind putting some work into the car to get it through a yearly inspection or an MOT in the UK. So I messaged him and he went, yeah, car still was out. Oh, I actually forgot. I haven't been using the car for months. I didn't even realise it was without MOT. Bit of a red flag. Mm. So that on Saturday... I sent him a message saying, we're going to come over and have a look at this on Tuesday. Mm. 3 days he had to prepare the car.
You have 3 days.
I will be on my way. On Tuesday, we left with the Cayenne in the trailer.
Yeah.
To go pick it up with MOT. Mm-hmm. I said to Will on the way, can you just go through the adverts, you do it when you're on the way to look at a car. You got to check. You got to look it back. And Will went, it's got an MOT. And I went, no, it doesn't. It's just run out. And he went, yeah, no, it's had an MOT. It had an MOT 2 days ago on Sunday, the day after we agreed to go and look it.
Yeah.
And I said, that's weird because it definitely didn't have an MOT on it before. Mm. Anyway, we got to the place and the thing that guy had told me, he said, be there at 2:00 because at 3:00 I have to go and pick up my son. Fair enough. Completely fair ask. So I said, I'll be there at 1:50. Get there a bit early. Mm. We got there early. Ooh. We got there early and I sent a message saying, we're here. And you know what? I'm going to play it. I'm going to play the message that I got back from this person. We've now been sitting there for 10 minutes after I said...
We're also in sort of the middle of nowhere right
middle
now.
Middle of nowhere. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. And I get a voice note from him. I thought, this is great. He's going to say, go down the lane, go left, go right. This was the voice note I got. That's it.
Edwin played that and I said, sorry, was that the end?
That was it.
No, that was it.
It was a 3-second video of him... Well, potentially busting a nut is all I can really describe it as. I can't really say that I know what else it must be.
I don't know how easy it is to accidentally do that.
You'd have to go into Messenger, press on and hold the button.
Hold the button.
Make the noise, then let go.
And then press, that's crazy.
And then send it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sent. We both laughed. We waited 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 2:15 now. Yeah. We've been waiting there 25 minutes. We get a call and he says... Sorry, mate. My mate actually just needed a lift, so I've just given him a lift.
That's nice.
And Will and I looked at each other after he expressly told us, I must go by 3:00. Mm. I thought, okay, it's fine. Hey, people have stuff come up. Fair enough. He said, just wait in this lay-by. I'm going to come get you because it's hard to find my unit. Mm. Fine. We wait another 10 minutes. What do I see coming towards us in the distance but an E55 wagon?
At great pace.
Well. Now, what's interesting is E55 wagons are quite rare. Mm. So it's unlikely it was a different car. He had driven the car, and to be fair, I hadn't said it to him, but it's kind of car selling 101. Mm. I'd like to see it, especially a high mileage V8.
A scary car like that.
To start up from cold. I'd like to see a cold start.
Yeah.
No, he was driving it.
Yeah, great.
He turned up, rolled the window down, said, yeah, follow me, mate. And as he was turning around, I looked at Will and said, those are not the same wheels as what was in the advert. It was on different wheels.
Yeah.
So anyway, followed him. He took that moment to go full pelt, a proper launch down a country road. To which I know I literally turned to Will and said, "This is ridiculous. This is actually."
It was almost like
a joke.
May not buy this car. Yeah, off someone like this.
I was already kind of annoyed. Yeah. Got there, had a look around the car. The car was as tatty as described. Yeah. He said the wheels were changed because someone else wanted to buy the car. They didn't care about the wheels, so he said I'd swap them to the cheaper ones. Mm. So fine, but also you could have told me this.
Despite the advert saying
brand freshly refurbished
wheels, with Continental tires or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is quite a nice selling point for something with massive tires.
Yeah.
You get there, we've got budgets and different wheels.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Why? Anyway, went for a drive in the car, and as we literally turned out of the unit sort of driveway, and I turned to the right, and it was quite hard to turn. Mm. Then I turned to the left, it was very easy. I went, that's kind of weird. I explained it to him, and he went, oh yeah, the front left tyre's completely flat. I went, sorry? He went, yeah, it needs pumping up. 3 days he had to pump the tyres up. But what I think is more interesting is he went, yeah, oh, it's flat, I haven't driven this in months. It had an MOT 3 days ago. So what? Which is it?
Also, when we said, obviously, we're not that pleased because it's not been started up from cold, he said, oh, yeah, but I've only driven it from up the road. But then we thought, well, also, if you only drove it from up the road, basically cold, why were you then absolutely pinning it down the back road?
Just smashing it off the limiter down back roads.
Whatever part of the story we try and take, it was correct.
So what we did is we bought it.
Yeah, we bought it,
of course. Yeah. We got it up onto the trailer and then decided I just want to move it a little bit further on the trailer because she's a big old girl.
She's a big boy.
And went, we'll win to start it. And it just went click.
Potentially 10 to 15 seconds after turning it off.
After turning it off, after a 15-minute drive.
Yeah.
And he went, oh yeah, battery's dead. Do you know what? I look back in the advert, new battery, it says in there, which concerns me quite a lot, if I'm honest. So yeah, there's a lot of problems with this car. Yeah. But this it's another example of a simply sublime buying story.
Yeah.
As always, we liked reading yours. Please put your best buying stories in there. But yeah, we still bought it. Any sane human, walk away.
No, absolutely not. It is a E55. I think I said this to you, possibly one of the scariest cars.
Do you want to tell the story of your dad's one?
Oh, my dad's one, yeah. I told him about this car, actually. And again, he had this... My dad's owned a lot of cars, and there's not many that he really, really hates. There's normally something that redeems that car. And that he bought a 6,000... I think I want to say it was about 6,000. It might have been less. £6,000.
But when?
E55. This was... I can't remember. It
10, 15 years ago?
It would be less than 10 years ago. Like seven, maybe 8 or 9 years ago.
So a £6,000 one then is... That's
it was
cheap.
Rough, yeah. And it was... It was wrapped white with the wheels you have on this one. Ooh. And then he wanted to unwrap it, and he unwrapped the white and it was black. And then under the black was the paint.
Ooh, that's tough.
And the paint, I think, was mashed. He'll probably clear this up with me afterwards. But that is the only car that if I ever mention an E55, he just goes...
Terrible.
That car, no, rubbish cars.
And what happened?
It had this really odd issue. It had many issues, to be fair. It had one issue where it would just smoke randomly. Like you'd do a pull, and then you'd just see this cloud of smoke behind you, and then it would go away.
Mm.
That's fine. But the main issue that was an actual issue is that every single light on the car would flash sometimes. So you'd be driving along, and so that's like your radio lights, the dash lights, everything that illuminates, including the headlights and the brake lights, would just flash like a police car. And there is if you turn the car off, it would carry on. Nothing would stop it. Turning it on and off wouldn't happen. You just have to let it sort itself out. Ooh. I think he replaced most of the modules, bought like actual Merc diagnostic software. Yeah. Nothing fixed it. In the end, he sold it to me by any car.
Yeah, but then didn't you?
and then got an email or a phone call or something from someone. Because obviously, someone would have seen on the invoices. From
the previous owner's name.
He called him and was like, "It's quite a really weird issue."
Your dad went, sorry, wrong number, bike.
It sounds quite bad, but he was like, this is the only one. I think he got like, well, also, I think he got about $4,000 for it.
Well, also, the reason people sell to be buying a car, they're like, let me just get rid of this thing. It's not my problem anymore.
Because it was like temperamental where it would sometimes get it. So I think it didn't do the issue at we buy any car. So they were like,
it's great.
$4,000 for it.
Your dad, I'll take it.
I would like to know if someone's out there and knows that car, great. I mean, I can't remember the number plate on that car, but. That was the only thing that if I ever mention it, he just goes, "Now don't buy one of those." So we may experience that.
So we bought the most the highest mileage one we could find.
We may experience that. So yeah, that's E55 buying. It was interesting, but we have it now. And soon to be an XFR alongside.
Say, I'm sure there's going to be a story next week of us buying the XFR.
We're buying that tomorrow in the dark. So that.
Oh, we are in the dark.
It'll be 6 o'clock.
That's lovely. That's great to see. I have screenshot here because we recently did a video on the Top Dead Center channel that is what cars we would each buy for the price of a brand new MX-5. Mm. On that, we have a... Is it? It's not in here. You can find it if you go into the Top Dead Center YouTube, any YouTube video, look in the description. There is a sheet link that you can click on and you can submit your cars. If you have something cool, you have something interesting, you can stick it on there and we might ring you up and say, hey, can we borrow your car? We are looking, not necessarily for that video, but for another one, for a Ferrari 355. If you know of one.
Of any variety.
Any three. It could be a Spider, could be a GTS, could be a Coupe, whatever you want. Send us in, let me know. But I have a screenshot from a comment on our video. I chose a TVR Tuscan, a car I would buy. That's important. And you chose a BMW M3 Supercharged, a car that you would buy. And the screenshot, and sorry, the comment goes like this. It's very long. I'll try and do cliff notes where I can. This video is honestly the worst kind of willfully ignorant. Mm. You completely ignore the fact that anyone shopping for a cheap sports car like an MX-5 is 100% a regular middle working class person who actually cares about such trivial nonsense, brackets, at least according to YouTubers, as fuel economy, maintenance costs, and a lifetime cost of ownership. The MX-5 gets 35 mpg in the real world. The TVR gets 11 mpg. Yes, 11. That's just wrong, by the way.
Can we just preface that the owner of the TVR literally told us that he was getting
on the way there, on a run,
like a decent run, about 30.
Yeah, he says he gets, on the way there that morning, he got 26. Not the most in the world, but we'll get to that. Mm. And the M3 gets somewhere around 16 mpg.
Also not true.
So you're recommending cost-conscious shoppers buy cars that literally cost either twice or three times as much to fill up. Not to mention the maintenance costs of a low-volume car like the TVR or a German luxury car like the M3 will significantly higher than the MX-5. The cherry on top is the MX-5 will actually hold its resale value.
No, it won't.
Here we go. A lot better than either a high-mileage M3 or an increasingly dated TVR. It's like, my guys, I get that you can get more horsepower for the money, but horsepower isn't the only thing that makes a car fun or valuable to its owners. I know big horsepower gets clicks on YouTube, but for those of us down here in the real world, where more horsepower just means higher bills at the pump, it's really not all that it's cracked up to be. Some of us would actually prefer a smaller, lighter, cheaper to own and cheaper to operate car that has less power, as we'd actually be able to afford to drive the damn thing. That is from RV White. Now the reason The reason I took such issue with that, here's one for you. You're a clown. Number two, let me break down why. Firstly, the entire title was what we would choose instead of an MX-5. Where in there did you glean information going, this is what you should buy?
Also, the category didn't necessarily say, we are looking for cheap sports cars for an equivalent. It was a fun weekend car.
Which the MX-5 is the basis for. Mm. It is the base. Mm. It is where you start at. We are saying what we would buy instead. But the reason it incensed me so much was the trying to go from the angle of, oh, just normal working class people. Sorry, if you can go out and spend £28,500 on an MX-5, finance or not, yeah. That doesn't come into the equation. Either save the money. Yeah. You can't be going around buying MX-5s cash and going, whoa, oh dear, the fuel pump prices, they're just killing just a normal man like me.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What are you on about?
Also, talking about the fuel economy and stuff, that's, again, there will be a market of people who want, I want something that's fun, but also I don't have to spend a load to fix and service
fair.
Or whatever else.
Fair
that
enough.
Is fair. Absolutely fair. What we're saying is that it's something that's more fun,
yeah,
more exciting, more exotic for the same money. Also, the resale value. What on earth? What in the name of all that is holy are you talking about? All you have to do is look at the older version of a car,
yeah,
and to see where the price of your car may well end up.
Exactly.
An MX-5, famously, exceptionally cheap.
Yeah. I have owned 8 MX-5s. How many of those have I spent more than £1,000 on? Zero. I have never spent more than £1,000 on an MX-5.
Granted, that's probably going to be 20, 30 years, but still, they're not quite going to depreciate like I don't know, a murky 55 or whatever.
No.
Or maybe even an M3 or whatever new, but they are still going to depreciate a hell of a lot. If you keep it for 5 to 10 years, you're going to lose probably half of its value easily.
Ridiculous.
Especially if you use it.
That part is what pushed me over the edge to talk about this comment, because that is to begin that comment with, this video is the worst kind of willfully ignorant. And yet you make that comment that, you know, MX5 is going to hold better value. Sorry, are you joking? If I go onto Auto Trader now, I can find MX5, ND MX5s for 15 grand. That's 10 grand off.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep going. Go and find me a TVR that has depreciated in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Oops, you can't.
Even that M3, it would be the same. You're not going to lose the same amount now. Even though those cars are much older, you're not going to lose as much money. You're just not.
So if you're listening to the podcast, go ahead and don't from now on, you clown.
Yep. And do your research for first. Don't buy an MX-5.
And here's one more last tip. You're willfully ignorant. So there's a nice little rant for you. We like to get the angry juices flowing every now and then.
If you were just fishing for a response,
you got it.
Damn well got one.
You got one.
And if you want to say dumbass stuff like that again, we'll do them the same.
If someone could go, please reply and hit him with a when, that would be perfect. Thanks. Yeah,
if someone could go hit him and reply and say, with the link to this video, and just let him know the time code for where he needs to
perfect.
Listen to
enjoy
what we
it.
Have to say.
If we could just get some L's in the chat, please. I just want to see a stream of L's.
Just L, 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 L.
L comment, L comment, L human.
Him opening YouTube.
Oh, God.
A quick interjection from the future. This is us on the next podcast. We're just filming it. We forgot to remind you guys about the fact that we have two big upcoming shows this year. If you're in the UK, if you're not, why aren't you in the UK? Fly over to see us.
Get here.
The first one is April the 12th.
April the 12th. That is at Bicester Heritage.
It is a food and fuel event that we are hosting. So it's not technically our event, but we'd love to see a load of you guys there. We're going to bring a load of our cars. We're also going to bring our secret new project car. So that is the only way that you're going to get to see that until the videos go out. No one take photos of it, please. You're not allowed to.
Don't say anything. Don't ask us about it either.
We're going to say it's not us. If you go to the Food and Fuel Instagram page, there is a link there where you can go and buy tickets for Eventbrite. There'll be show cars, normal cars, and then we'll have some special cars in a hangar. That's cool. We got an airplane hangar for this thing.
And then the one later in the year, that's going to have a hill climb.
That's going to be cool.
So that's we wanted the show, our first big show, to have some proper stuff going on, stuff you can watch. So a hill climb.
100 cars will be going up the hill, all handpicked by us. And of course, yes, the Ninky Nonk will be going up the hill. We will let you know when tickets for that go live. But for now, grab a ticket for Bicester in April. Hopefully we'll see some of you there.
Okay, rare, big rant over.
Yeah,
I think we'll be back next week for another big rant.
More anger.
For another comment. Leave a nice spicy comment and we'll abuse you.
We'll probably just ignore it.
But anyway, on to Ben.
Hello.
It's the forum.
It's the forum. And once again, we're here with two. I can't reach the button.
Seriously. Oh, Ben.
Well, one of you can press it.
No, you can press it. It's your job, mate.
But
all right, that's on Ben's shoulders.
Viewers, so I'm currently wedged between a door, a camera, and a microphone.
Can you just do it live in person, please, instead?
It was your voice.
The forum.
Clean. Very nice.
It's actually very similar to the voice I used to do it. Anyway.
So if it's your first time listening, just to explain, we do a thing every week called the forum where you guys at home can ask a question to us who are, excruciating carballs who can't talk about anything else. So Ben, take it away.
This is from Sammy TS on Spotify. For the forum, lowering springs or coilovers? I think they're asking what the difference is.
Oh, or personal opinions?
Either or, mate.
How about both?
Because the thing is, to a
horrible comment
to a non-car person, what are they? What's the difference? Why is which one better? What would you have?
Okay, so to explain, springs or coilovers, it depends what your car comes with. So some cars actually come with coilovers. Ferraris and things, they have height adjustable coilovers from factory. You can mess with them.
Technically, many cars come with coilovers.
Because it's the coil over the damper. Yes. You should explain that. Explain that.
No, technically, because, apart from the rear of some cars.
Yeah.
But if you have a damper that goes through a coil, it's kind of
a coilover.
But when someone says coilovers, they're talking about aftermarket.
Yeah. Height adjustable lowering is what it is. So the way most car suspensions will come is they will come with a damper that's kind of the thing that dampens. Crazy that.
Nice.
The car going over bumps, and then it will have a spring within that that helps kind of push the damper back and return him. What you can do is you can put shorter springs on it and it will lower the car, make the car look nicer. Or you can have a full replace the whole thing, replace the damper, the shock, the top mount, all of it with a new coilover setup that lowers your car as well. The reason that people would go for coilovers over springs is for performance. The damper that you have from your car is built to work with your spring. If you change to lowering springs, it looks good, but in some cases, you are pushing the damper outside of the range it wants to be used in. So a coilover instead is specifically built to always have the same spring rate and be adjustable height-wise at the bottom, at least a good quality one. So it completely depends on your
it's normally cost.
Purpose. Yeah, exactly.
Cost is, if you are purely going for visuals, most people are going to go for springs. Also, it depends on the type of car. Some cars, people just, coilover is just the thing to go for.
NMX5.
You see Lotuses and stuff, yeah, where they go, it's on Nitron coilovers. And then always. You see other cars, lots of like German stuff, like M3s and stuff. Most of those people that are just going for a visual thing, they'll go for springs. Because springs are often somewhere in the region of £100 and £300 or £400.
Yeah, £100 to £300 is classic.
It means you keep all your standard dampers. Mm-hmm. The ride normally doesn't change that much. Like a lot of the time, the spring is meant to be stiffer.
Yeah,
but like in actual fact, it's not.
I was going to say doing springs tends to preserve a little bit more of the original ride quality if it's a nicer riding car. These cars, the E55s, for instance, they're on airbags, but when they fail, which is costly, people will swap to coilovers because you can't put springs on the bags.
Yeah,
but it means you do lose all of your ride quality. It gets harsh.
Yeah. Exactly, but I always think springs are a nice, like, if you're not going that hard, it's because coilovers, most of the you're going to notice that it's harder. There'll be some that are more supple than others, and you can get some with different spring rates or adjustable damping, but you're going to notice if you've got coilovers on.
Yeah.
And also, good coilovers can cost,
absolutely,
a lot of money.
We run a lot of the times BCs because they're like the perfect kind of entry into a good performance coilover, and they also act quite nice on the road.
Yeah.
And then, but you will go up into £5,000 to £10,000 range for coilovers if you're going Nitrons, Intrax, Olins. You're spending big money.
For the money, I would rather have, because you can buy coilovers for £300.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy those.
I would rather have a lowering spring,
a good,
than a cheap set of coilovers, because one, the cheap set of coilovers are going to die.
Yeah,
they are going to die, and also the ride quality is going to be bad, and just overall, you can lower more probably, but yeah.
When I was
springs are better.
I might have told this cost. On the podcast before, but when I was 18, I was into Stance, and I put 996 GT3 wheels on my Mark IV Golf. Come on, and I bought Joms, the cheapest suspension you can buy. I think they were £180 or £170 brand new,
which is insane.
That's ridiculous.
That's for four large pieces of metal.
Yeah, engineered pieces of metal. I put them on the car, and even 18-year-old me took them off 2 weeks later. Yeah. So I was like, this is horrible. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I was dailying the car to school. I was like, I can't do this.
Mm.
So I would agree. A good set of springs over a cheap set of coils all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, good question.
Second question.
Oh, here we go. Is this equally as serious?
This is much less serious.
Oh,
this is from Khalid. I'm sorry if I've messed your name up, Spotify again.
The DJ?
No, I don't know. I have a question. How do you guys handle your road rage?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Brackets, i.e. someone tailgating.
Badly. Sorry, actually, now I'm actually all right. In my grand...
Is that true?
No, not really. But I would say in my late teens, like early driving years, badly. Like I was potentially just ending up on dash cam videos if it was the modern day. But now I think I'm fine.
Yeah,
but I'm not opposed to abusing someone out the window.
If someone deserves it, completely fair enough. But my mate and I discovered that the best way to end road rage and make them more upset and you less upset is to smile and or laugh at them. If you act really happy, because they're angry, whatever, even though they're in the wrong, they're an idiot, they are angry for some reason at you, mainly because they don't want to admit they're wrong. If you laugh at them, especially if you do, imagine like a pantomime point and laugh.
Yeah.
Like you literally arm fully extended pointing with ha ha ha. it drives them crazy.
Yeah.
It's great. Or if I've a couple of times I've had it where they get alongside me all angry and I just, we do it on the way to lunch sometimes. You just kind of look out the window, just give them like a regal, kind of almost like a queen, like smile and a wave, just a, oh, hi. They don't understand because they're like, oh, what? what's going on? I thought we were angry at each other, but you're just
thought,
like,
I thought we were going to have a fight or something.
Good. Have a good one.
One thing I would say, act somewhat seriously, is that I would just not get involved.
It's just easier not to.
I'm not saying I know. I genuinely, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because humans have emotions and what such. Especially in a, for some reason, in a car, everyone's balls grow.
Yeah, because you're in your box.
Everyone starts to go, you know what? I am now.
I'm in my box.
I'm now twice as hard as I was when I was just walking down the
Whoa.
Street.
Whoa.
<That's laughs> crazy. Again.
Different context there. both mean the same.
But
generally, I just don't get involved in it because whatever the outcome is, it's not good.
No, exactly.
You do not know if the person that you're like, how do you know they're not high on something or they're,
yeah,
whatever it is, they're just an idiot that's going to get out, smash your car up, and or smash you up,
yeah,
even worse, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's worth, like, as well, you will forget about it by next week.
Yeah.
Let's say it's not the end of today, you might remember it tomorrow, but let's, people watching, there might be some road rage experiences that you might remember, but I guarantee you the majority of people have cut you off or wronged you in some way, you cannot even remember. So what's the point in giving them any time?
Yeah. You can hit them with a little washer jet.
Oh, classic. That's nice.
If your washer jets aren't quite hitting your windscreen, and then you might get over the top. Because that, even if it's not road rage and someone does it to me in front, that angers me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, now I've got you.
Now I've got to do mine, the person behind.
Now I've got...
A butterfly flaps its wings. A person on the M25 sprays his windscreen. It's the same thing.
Maneuvers the man in front.
End it.
Can I give some advice on road rage?
Here we go.
Start a podcast. That's what we do.
You know what?
That's how we handle it. We just rant and we make.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
That is a very good point.
It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, basically.
Yeah.
It's not even. It doesn't need to be recorded. You just need to get into a room
with someone else.
Just talk it out, man.
Yeah. My name is Edwin, and this week I pit maneuvered someone because they were tailgating me.
They were 85,
but they had it coming.
They were in the middle lane. Everyone in the corner.
Yeah.
I normally get road rage, to be fair. Now it's more like if I see someone being an actual idiot. The last time I can actually remember road rage, and my girlfriend hated it. She really hates it. She's like, stop it, leave it. It's not worth it.
It's not Jez.
It's not worth it, mate. There was a guy, I was on the motorway. It was relatively quiet. I'm just sat there, cruise control on. And a guy sort of like comes past me, but he's like really close to my lane. I was in the slow lane and he's just come past me in my lane. I looked across to him. He's just on his phone.
Yeah. Oh.
But phone in lap.
That's tough.
Just looking down. So I bit my horn and I looked at him and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he started fuming at me. He was like window down, just absolutely raging at me. And I gave him that laughing treatment, which I would never have done.
Yeah.
Like 5 to 10 years ago. I was like, this guy's an idiot. But he just got like super violent. Like mega violent.
Really?
I was like, I'm just going to leave it because this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And he was just, I can't remember, it was like an X5 or some SUV.
Sorry, man.
he was trying to order a new level sensor.
But it was like, he's like, I've been rumbled for being a bellend.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, that kind of stuff annoys me when someone is being blatantly.
Do you know what it is? I have no respect for anyone on their phone in the car, but I almost have more respect for the people who are just blatantly, just phone to the ear.
That's
like
crazy.
2000 style. Yeah. If you're doing that, I have more respect for you than the people like texting in their lap going, just looking up and down a thousand times.
Yeah.
If you're just raw dogging it.
Yeah, also you're at least looking straight.
Your phone to your ear, for how brazen you are, tiny bit of shred of respect. The rest of it, you're a clown.
Although what I don't understand about being on your phone in the car, at this big age,
speaker. How
many cars, phones have speakerphone for a start. That's easy. If you're, people who drive along, and they have the phone holding like this, and it's on speakerphone. What's going on? And also, you're telling me that your 2018 van or Vauxhall Agila or whatever car it is doesn't have Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Now, on the off chance it doesn't, just don't take it.
Also, every van does.
Yeah.
Every time I rent a van, it has the most base model van has everything.
So many cars just have Bluetooth at the bare minimum for phone calls. And people go, now, do you know what? I think I'll...
Yep. Hi, the police are coming. Hold on, just hold on. Just holding my phone out in front of me.
It baffles me.
Yeah.
Really baffles me. But
I saw a man the other day, right on the M4.
Nah, surely not.
Yeah, genuinely. Anyway, next segment. No, he was on his phone, but leaning over the steering wheel and had it held like on top of the dashboard hump and was just scrolling through reels.
Ooh,
do you know what? Do you know how much I want to knock him off the road?
That's crazy.
You're a clown. If you're watching, you're a clown.
That's crazy.
He's
locked in.
He's just watching reels. I was like, next one, mate. Yeah.
Have you seen that one? That was funny. Yeah. That was a good one.
Have you ever seen people on like FaceTime?
Yes.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Because also, like, it's so unbelievably brazen to have your phone, like, and they've got it on like a mount. So
yeah.
They're technically, they probably think this is legal, but they're on FaceTime with their wife and kids at home. And you think if a police car comes past, they're not going to go, ah, that's all right.
Yeah. I mean, he's looking.
Yeah, he's only talking to his wife and kids. It doesn't matter. Like, what are you doing? Also, what is possibly that urgent?
No, yeah.
I have to see you.
If I can see that they're in the hospital and she's just given birth, fine. I get it. Yeah. I can get that.
But even then, you've missed it. So yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, and drive faster. But yeah, phone that's, yeah. This podcast is just...
Ranting
about,
yeah, no, that was a nice supplemental stuff. Rant, yeah. Rant, yeah. On the end, tacked on,
wasn't intended.
It was, yeah, that was a stealth one added, yeah, in there at the end.
Stealth one.
I think that wraps up the, yeah, rant. Sorry, that was actually the forum, not the rant. Yeah, but that was, you know,
we, did we answer the question?
I don't care.
No. Well, what did you say to me?
Let's move on to our favourite current segment.
Oh yeah,
which is Carspiracies. Yeah. Ben still can't lean forward to press it. Could you reenact it, please?
I can't actually remember. Oh yeah, some sort of, imagine X-Files and then me loudly saying the word conspiracy.
Lovely, delightful.
Over and over again.
Until it
in your ear.
Burns into your soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I want to note, you know, we had one recently about the cones.
Yes.
There's this conspiracy that the government have too many cones and that's why there's so many roadworks, because, mm-hmm, they have nowhere to put the cones. I thought that was like...
joke.
This guy made it up. I've seen that 5 or 6 times, commented since.
Oh, really?
Is this an actual conspiracy? Let us know if that is an actual conspiracy.
Ooh.
That's, maybe it's gathering numbers now.
In which case, someone find us the cone storage.
I would like to make a video on that, if so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a little second channel
where
video.
Do all the cones
where
go?
Do all the I'm going to follow the highway maintenance lorry home.
You have four black Escalades start following you.
It's like a spy movie. We're putting trackers on the bottom of highway maintenance.
We swap one of our cones in. He's a sleeper agent.
What's that show you're watching, that Severance thing? Where it's just a lorry. It leaves and then it comes back and puts the lorries back out. Anyway, back to
your Audi loves sitting on the M25.
So anyway, new Carspiracy. Have you ever noticed how all of the best cars you see driving down the motorway are always on the other side? I think it's a conspiracy by big motorway TM to annoy enthusiasts and keep us all apart.
This is so fair.
It's always on the other side.
Now, logically, it makes sense, because when you join the motorway, you're with a set amount of cars. Yeah. So you can't really get, unless
more,
you're
more
doing...
is coming past you than you're driving with.
But yeah. I can agree.
Yeah.
Although there is, when I was doing my test when I was 18, I'd driven before when I got to England, so I already had bad habits. I'd been driving like a normal person when I lived in Africa. So my driving instructor was like, "You're fine, but you just need to remember you're doing a test, okay? You can't be looking at cars around you driving around." And his one piece of advice was, you need to stop looking at things and going, "Oh, look at that," because it will get you failed.
Yeah.
And when you do your test in the UK, maybe it's the same in other countries, you can have your driving instructor come with you. He sits in the back. I was like, sure. Because if you fail, he can see what you've done. Mm. It helps you for that. And so he was like, yeah, jump in, mate. Let's go for let's get the whole gang out in the car. And we got onto the dual carriageway, because it was before you could go on motorways. I think maybe still. No, do you go on motorways in your test?
Because Cornwall has no motorways, so they can't put it on the test.
But, wow, Ben with the inside information.
Because Cornwall has no motorways?
Cornwall's the only county in the UK that has no motorways, so it'd be unfair, apparently. I believe. That's why I'd be
told. Oh, because then they would have to go and find one.
Because you couldn't test everyone in the country. Every test center wouldn't have a motorway route.
So the fact that everyone's bad at motorways is because of Cornwall.
Yeah, I reckon chop it
more
off.
More than happy to slice that off.
Carspiracy would get that one in there. But so we were on the dual carriageway, and what comes past but a 6.2 Gallo Orion Murcielago.
That's tough.
And I can see it in the wing mirror. And now, the first thing, I'm looking in my mirrors, I'm thinking, great, he's going to think, I'm just checking my mirrors.
I'm looking in one mirror.
Just constantly checking my mirrors. And I felt, because he was sitting behind me, I don't know if it was his knee or his arm, just kind of like gently jabbing me, going, stop looking at the Murcielago. And then when it came alongside, I just went, I just stared straight ahead. Like I could see the tester going like, oh, nice looking car. I just went, meh. Oh, yeah. Because I was like, I'm not failing my test because I'm looking at a Murcielago.
Great,
it's
way
not
to
happening.
Fail, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Great way to go.
Great nasty way to go. So I can believe it.
Yeah.
Going, cars coming the other way.
But he passed?
They're sending them. No, he was not on my side, to be fair.
No, you passed?
Not the first one. I got
your
cut,
second time.
I got cut off by, we'll tell these stories in the next one, but got cut off by whatever the red colour Fiesta ST is on my first test. and because they were recording it for whatever training purposes or something, the guy failed me, and he said, well, legally I wouldn't have passed you, but he was like, he just went, that's a tough break. I was like, I had a vendetta against Fiesta STs for years after that. I was so angry.
Go out and find that one.
But I call that not plausible, but plausible.
Plausible, yeah. I mean, it's just every time it's something that goes,
you go, what was that?
Although I think I've got a relatively good eye for just knowing what it was.
Yeah.
Just going, oh, that was a, and then exactly the model and exactly what
also,
it is.
Also, if we're all in the car together, someone's getting it. Someone's keeping an eye out.
Also, just you can't be proved otherwise. What you can do, catch that car up.
Yeah, it was an Agera. Yeah, it was.
I saw you saw this slither of the roof above the...
It was.
In the middle of...
Yeah, there aren't any. Yeah, there
meanwhile, the yellow Vauxhall Agila going down the motorway. Yeah, that was a Zonda, mate. Not to worry.
Right, I like that conspiracy. As always, stick them in the comments because we love them.
More.
Any car-related conspiracies, chuck them in. You have an argument to end on.
We haven't had
It's
an
been
argument.
A while.
Well, we've had a small argument with Ben.
But it's true.
That's quite a large argument. I believe all chrome is rubbish, asterisk.
Okay, here we go. Now, what
I'm not going to say it yet. I'm just going to open with that.
Okay, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
Now, here's a question for you. Is chrome, are you putting that in the same category as all metals, like silver metals? Or is it only reflective metals?
Mostly, but I'm mainly going on the mirror finish.
So, yeah, like chrome?
Yeah, not like Audi RS type beat.
RS type beat, what is that?
Like the, like not brush.
Oh, the brush. Yeah, but like brush. Yeah.
Satin.
Okay. Yeah, no, the seats, mate, Saturn.
Great.
Okay. Ben looked visibly distressed by that. Okay, so grill, perhaps chrome grills, chrome wing mirrors now, type beat is what you're upset by.
I can
interior you're talking about as well. What
yeah,
is,
no, that's not good.
All, okay, so anything chrome. I think it...
What chrome in an interior works?
But my... No, I can kind of agree with most of that. What about like the rings of Rolls Royces on their air vents? You'd rather that be black piano black?
Hmm. Either that or some kind of satin finish.
But okay, now that I can agree with.
I'm not saying metal's bad. I'm saying shiny, horrible chrome. Because mostly it's plastic.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
It's plastic with a thing on it.
Okay, so are you saying... Because I thought your argument coming into this was that it should be like black instead.
Well, black, but it's case by case. Some things can be black. Now the Abarth.
I swapped out the mirror caps from chrome to black.
Fantastic. It's
because
a great start.
The chrome on the mirrors, it makes it look like Dumbo. It's like a 8 series. Yeah. They're too big, so it draws attention to it.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want it to be smooth down the side. But his little moustache, his little Fiat moustache, that's his brand. His brand is that he has a silver moustache with the Fiat badge.
But why?
Because that's him. That's like saying, why is an Audi badge the big fish mouth? It just is.
Hmm.
That's him. And to black it out, you might as well just delete the whole thing. Get a smooth bumper that has nothing on it. Get a normal 500 bumper that doesn't have it.
A Bath bumper is different.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, the panel there, just blank it off.
I just think chrome's horrible. And it's at the back as well.
Yeah, the little tailgate.
But if that's good, why are the mirrors not good?
Because the mirrors stick out from the car. They make the car look wider than it is.
Okay,
whereas the front and back, they're just design elements.
Now, I can accept chrome sometimes on a BMW, and it's only when they get to a particular age.
Interesting.
And that is only in the grills.
Yeah,
chrome BMW grills, I would normally bin off, but when they get to a particular age, I can understand it.
This was going to be my first argument. So 100 times out of 100 on a new BMW, you're getting black grills.
9 times out of 10, yeah.
You belong in Birmingham.
Exactly, fine.
You need to head there.
It looks better.
You better move. No, it doesn't.
Cool, 75-year-old man has just specced his M4. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's better
cool.
than looking
like a waterproof seat as well.
Looking like teamu.com has specced my car.
But it's not, though.
Looking like Instagram has...
But it's not, though.
It does. It 100% does.
It looks meaner.
It
looks angrier.
Meaner. They're grills. They're silver grills. I don't look at the grills and go, ooh, I'm scared of that now. Ooh, God, those black grills. Ooh. Oh, I'm so scared.
Right. Actually, Ben... Now, this isn't actually a chrome wheels argument.
Going after Ben.
This is right. Ben, you stupid. You, when we were filming the BMW M3 Supercharged, which is my old car, by the way, which was very upsetting to drive, that car is... All the chrome is gone. What did you say about the wheels, which are black?
I said, I don't know.
Now,
you said you liked it.
Yes.
No, I did. I didn't. I would accept it on this car because they are satin, and I said that in this spec it looks okay. But I would still have silver.
But your satin means that car would look better with chrome grills.
Yes.
100% yeah. Chrome trims around the windows.
Chrome grill. No, shadow line. I don't mind shadow line on
that's
a BMW.
Wrong. One piece of chrome at the front.
No, chrome on the front grills, silver on the wheels. Better. That car looks better.
Oh, I love granddads.
I don't care. It looks better. It looks cleaner.
It doesn't look better.
It looks like you're trying way too hard.
One piece of chrome is odd.
No, it's not.
You need to match everything else.
Because that is its face. BMW has chrome grills.
Since when?
That's how. Since always. Since literally always.
Okay, so shall we continue to do what BMW were doing in the 40s?
No, but what I'm saying is it's identifiable.
Who the fuck can you?
But just because they were doing it 100 years ago doesn't mean they need to keep doing it.
That's not my point. My point is that it looks better. It looks
doesn't.
Better.
It just doesn't.
But you're saying it looks odd. You're saying it looks out of place. But it
looks
doesn't.
Odd.
No, but it doesn't because that's what it's always
chrome
been.
Chrome ass. You look like, it just looks naff.
Why?
Most of the time.
But why?
And it depends on the grill.
Why then?
Here's my argument, is that it's not, this is my normally my argument, it's not black and white. It's black and chrome.
They're chrome.
But there can be arguments for both, but you straight up refuse black.
No, that's not true at all. On BMWs I do.
But that's what I'm saying, straight up nah, never.
Yeah, correct.
Chrome is always better.
No, I'll look at it, but in 100% of cases I've seen, chrome is better. It looks cleaner. It looks classier.
So if the new M4 grills, the current ones with the big ass face, if you're saying they were chrome, they'd be better.
Well, I thought, aren't they? Don't they
but
have...
they're black.
Fully black.
Pretty much, yeah. If it, worst case, they might have like a
I think they
accent.
Have the little accent.
But they're black.
Well, then I haven't noticed them. So yeah, I'm sure they're fine then.
So then there we go. But you wouldn't have noticed it.
No, but I'm not saying I want to chrome grills. I'm saying when I see black grills that have been replaced, they look shit.
Not chromers.
What?
It's American.
Yeah, but black is...
God damn, I got the chrome grill on there.
But black grills are cheap.
But so is chrome.
So there you go. Then there's no
because it's not chrome.
What?
It's chrome. It's plastic.
Yeah, but so is black.
That's what I mean. It's just have it as plastic.
No, it should be grey. Why is it gloss black then?
Oh, I'll have it primer, shall
we? Yeah, exactly. Then if it's just plastic, it should just be plastic.
But you like chrome trims on windows.
I wouldn't change stuff to it, but yeah, if it came,
but you would accept a car that came with it.
If I can option it, I'd probably have shadow line on. I'd have a shadow line on the what's called. Yeah, like this.
I think
this chrome window trims on this. Absolutely.
This. Whoa.
Absolutely. It's a dad wagon. Of course it should be. There is nothing cool about this conceptually.
It's a 500 horsepower wagon.
Exactly. But it is still a wagon. It is still an old man's car.
It's an AMG.
Do you think a cool person bought this new? No, of course not. It was an old person who went, I'll have the big engine.
What cars do cool people buy?
Supercars, I guess, then.
Yeah, maybe, which are black.
No, they're not. They're multicoloured.
But they often have black bits.
Going to Lamborghini dealership, you can only have
black. As an example, this E-Class, you can't actually see it because it's behind the TV, but that grill, if that was black, I wouldn't like it.
Agreed. Fully agreed.
But this is what I mean, it's case by case.
But I can't think of a case that I prefer a black grill. Maybe your M4, but I hate those grills anyway. Those are horrible. So
the M5? M5.
The
F10?
Oh, why can I... Oh, yeah, chrome grills. Absolutely.
Wow.
No, the spec that you had, fair, that was its whole vibe.
Also, it was factory.
But I would still prefer, if it was silver, not shadow line. It would have shadow line windows.
So you'd have those thin spoke thing. That's what it would be. It'd be those thin ones, not the double slat ones, which it was meant to have for that year. Coming like a 520D.
Were they all black? Always black in the F10s and the late ones?
I think you could spec it.
So then I'd have the normal silver ones, yeah?
The like thin ones?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
Also mega nerdy. So you would have the thin slat grills.
But that's what I mean. The chrome ones, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be those, got 1,000 slats in my grill.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I look like some sort of chrome 90s rapper wheel strapped to the front of my car.
No, I'm not. I'm saying like chrome wheels like that, can't run. Can't, like old dub wheels.
I just don't agree.
I don't agree.
I just don't agree.
I don't agree.
I don't agree.
Yeah, it's
fair. You know what, Ben?
You know what, that's fair. I don't agree.
Ben Chrome?
I don't know.
Ooh, you know what? Ben's smart in this situation.
Ben's smart.
I don't want to get involved. Someone's shouting at me no matter what. But also, I don't
care.
Really, I don't care on a car. I like silver more than I like black, but chrome is a bit much sometimes.
Your X5, if all the window trims were chrome.
I don't know what color they are.
Great. I'm not arguing with you.
Are they black?
I'm not arguing.
Has it got chrome grills?
No.
Should it?
No.
I'll buy some.
It shouldn't. There are no X5 chrome grills.
The outside
lip are.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, like no.
Around
yeah,
the
yeah.
edge, but they are black.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're the plastic.
Like a dark grey plastic.
The plastic, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, that's fine. No, that I agree.
So that's black grill.
Yeah, but I just like OEM.
I don't notice these
and
things.
And most OEM is chrome.
Chrome around the windows is weird. If it was silver, it would look better than black. There's my rank. Chrome silver, is chrome is black, to me, chrome.
That are people who don't understand how the Olympics work. I think we're never going to come to a conclusion on this, so let us know your thoughts in the comments. As usual, most of you think I'm wrong because you have poor taste. Have a very good rest of your week. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Cream, get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all.